Hello, and welcome to Little Wars, the internet's only not anti-non-illegal things and anti-child abuse traditional games podcast, because we boycott Wizards of the Coast. I am your co-host, the illustrious Mongoose Kikimora. You can hit me up on Twitter and argue with me about tanks just about any time. And right here next to me in our pretend studio is my wonderful friend here, Jack. How you doing, Jack?
This is our painting table. We're across from each other at our painting table.
Yeah, we're across from each other at our spiritual painting table.
That's right. So yeah, you wanna start off?
Yeah, we had some problems with our audio because see, I'm the audio monkey and I'm kind of a moron. Like this is my first rodeo. So
you're fine. These are just growing pains. It'll be fine.
Ostensibly, yes. Anyway, we're just gonna quickly rehash everything we talked about before our audio screwed up because you know so. We're just going to go over, like, what did you do this week hobby-wise? What was it?
So, I didn't have a lot of time to do anything specific because I got a little bit of allergies going. But I did order a few of the new Primaris Space Marines because the ones I specifically ordered were the Aggressors, which were one of the two that I liked aesthetic wise because they kind of look like fire bats. You know, they got gauntlets with dual, you know, flamers on them. And I'm going to mild these to look like one of them has a cigar coming out of his mouth to kind of look like the traditional fire bats. But yeah, I've had some harsh words about the Primaris Space Marines that GW released a couple of months ago, I guess a year or two ago now. I don't know. This is all starting to flow together.
I think too. Yeah, I think it's about a year.
Yeah. So I bought those more specifically because I played Death Watch, and most of the Primaris Marines look kind of tactical, which kind of fits into the aesthetic of the whole army. And I also just wanted some fire bats because fire bats are pretty cool in general.
Yeah, my general take on my general take on the Primaris Marines is I don't like them. I think they're butt ugly models. I think they're fake and gay. This entire thing has just been awful. It's just a horrible design decision. They look stupid. Space Marines should be like mystical monk heroes, not tactical like operators. So just no. So yeah, that's a really, really fast run through on my take on the Primaris Marines, and there's really not much more to it than that.
Yeah, I think a few of them have their places. You know, I don't. I agree that they didn't put enough. They put too much special, you know, operationally, and not enough space monk, you know, into them. I agree with you there, but. But for me, they seem to fit a little bit better. I don't really like some of the models, like the Inceptors or whatever they're called, the jump pack dudes with the massive fucking guns. But yeah, I don't know. Like having a few fire bats in my army kind of seems pretty cool. So
yeah. For me this week, I haven't gotten my painting stuff out at my new apartment, so don't know about that. When I'm gonna get on that recently. Haven't had a chance to get a good game of Flames of War in a while, so I'm hoping I can maybe edge that in on this weekend. Maybe not. Who knows? Otherwise, I mean, it's just a lot of stuff going on around here. Not a whole lot in terms of that, but I've been doing I'm doing an RPG campaign. Had a party wipe, so basically just kind of a soft restart going on here. I had actually had the first session last night, and that went pretty well. It was in Savage Worlds, so we're just gonna just quickly, yeah, that was all right, but yeah, we're just gonna quickly, like, talk about why are we talking about Savage Worlds all of a sudden, Jack? Why do you think that is?
About Savage Worlds?
Yeah, in particular, as opposed to any other role-playing game.
Because it's not a D20?
Well, yeah, it's not D20 and it's not D&D, so it's not made by people that harbor pedophiles. As we covered in the last episode.
That's kind of an obvious first, check mark. Right.
If you don't want to buy a role-playing game, or if you want to buy a role-playing game, don't buy it from crazy people that do the entire bit Wizards does. So we thought this week a good conversation topic would just be like what kind of games other than like D20 games and in particular Dungeons and Dragons you can play, because D20 is boring and we're just gonna go over D20 is boring, and eventually I'll probably get around to going in depth as to why I don't like D20 systems. But for now, I think it'll just suffice for me to say, at the very least, on my end. I don't know if Jack wants to leave this be. By all means, you can just go right into like why you don't like it or why you like it. But for me, I don't like the fact that it's all anybody ever plays. I think there are better systems and things that are more fun. So that's it on my end.
Well, I mean, I broadly agree with you on that front. Not just being a hipster here, just simply because, the D20 system, as most people develop games for it, doesn't really make a lot of sense for a lot of the reasons that you've outlined previously. Just simply as far as mathematics goes, the way they calculate the modifiers for it. But what I will say about it though is that I think the good design decisions when you talk about D20 is that the D20 itself is large enough. It's got a large enough possibility of numbers to where you can reliably say that whatever you rolled, it rolled somewhere within 20 numbers, as opposed to like 8 or 6, or if you use any other kind of die, right? But small enough to where you can only roll one die, and that die's kind of funny looking, and it kind of gives you a little it's small enough and clear enough that you can see the number that you rolled and all these other things. If you have a larger polyhedron, then you might not be able to see the numbers or it might get stuck somewhere or something. If you have a smaller one, as I said, it's not a large enough pool of numbers, right? Unfortunately, what most systems do, and I think you mentioned this previously, is that they tend to get a little wonky with the additions and subtractions to it, to the point where, at some points you are getting plus 10 to your D20 roll, and then it's like,
and even how those are calculated out of base stats and all that stuff, it just gets so complicated,
Yeah. It would be better if you just didn't get any modifiers, and even then it's still like, I don't feel like I'm, really progressing any. I guess the Skinner box isn't being, dripped into your brain. So
yes. Yes. Okay. So basically those are apart from the disparity in the way casters and marshals are balanced with the way those systems kind of run, that pretty much summarizes a majority of my problems with D20, apart from like the communities that have erected themselves around Dungeons and Dragons, and especially Pathfinder. Like, if you play Pathfinder with people, your people need to if you play Pathfinder with other people, you need to look at those people carefully and critique them and get them to step up when they need to, because they need to do that.
They need an intervention.
They may need an intervention, yeah.
Well, I will say though that really all a system is a way for you to play out some sort of not story, but a campaign setting that either you've come up with or you want to play it, right? So
a shameless plug, I have one. If anybody wants access to it, hit me up.
Yeah, and I really want to see that. But yeah, basically, like if you're playing Pathfinder, I don't necessarily see you as a bad person necessarily, but maybe look at other systems that, you know, better, or take it upon yourself to rip out some of the issues with a lot that surrounds the 3.5/ Pathfinder system, because there are a lot of issues that that seem to crop up.
Maybe I'll talk about this some other time, but I do see that there are some things involving the communities of people that go play those games that could use some work.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like I met some real pieces of work, you know, just in my time in these communities. I've gone to Gen Con maybe once, and this was many, many, many years ago when it was better than it was now. And, you know, the people who get sucked into these things, usually, I mean, I'm not suggesting that these people are bad in any way, shape, or form, because it is one of the most played systems out there. So, you know, like sometimes people ask you, why do you do this or why do you play this? Well, you know, it's because I can play with other people, you know. It's like, well, if I'm the only one who knows the system in my area, it's like, well, what's the point?
Wait. I'm gonna say just shout out to Christianity, everybody. Everybody is technically bad. We're all sinners. We gotta go pray to Jesus, get forgiven. So that's that. So, you know, you're not technically off the hook there. I'm not gonna let you off the hook that way. But the reason you're sinful is not that you play Pathfinder, although that could factor into it, depending on how you work with that. Like
all
things.
That could be a side effect.
Well, it could be, or it could be feeding into some other tendencies you have. Anyway, but this is not the Godcast. Neither of us are theologians. I'm just a guy with really strong opinions about consubstantiation and the matter of indulgences. So... we've just kind of outlined our problems with D20 systems. I'm probably gonna just start off talking about, like, what are some great alternatives and why would you want to consider these alternatives? And the first one I'm gonna start off with is probably, if you said, okay, you gotta pick one role playing game to play for the rest of your life, you gotta pick something. You know what I'd pick? I'd pick Savage Worlds.
And why would you pick that?
Well, there are a lot of reasons, and I'm going to go through them. The first one is it's cheap as hell. The Savage Worlds base rulebook, it's got a basic bestiary and a bunch of other stuff in it, is only going to put you out $10. Straight up. The entire system is $10.
That's not bad.
That's about the cheapest role-playing, like, universal role-playing game you can do for a long time there is. So Savage Worlds is really cheap, and the system itself is really simple. All of your statistical modifiers, as you will, all of your stats are actually die types. It goes from D4, D6, D8, D10, D12, right? It goes all the way up like that. So your stats are on these are basically your dice. And then your skills, you buy with skill points, and the cost of the skill is cheaper if you're buying... Each skill is linked to a stat. So if I want to buy a knowledge skill, for example, it's linked to intelligence. Let's say I have like a D8 in intelligence. So I want to buy the skill itself that's going to cost me 2 skill points to just buy into a regular D4. Then I want to go get a D6 and then a D8. And both of those are less than a D10. So each of those is going to cost me 1 skill point. To go up to the D10 is 1 skill point. Then if I want to go to a D12, that's 2 skill points because I'm above my linked attribute. So how you can buy your skills is linked to your stats, kind of loosely. And the entire system is point buy. There are very few restrictions other than what the game master kind of tells you, like, hey, you got to have a good reason to take that, or we're not using these sorts of magical backgrounds in my setting, or we're not using magic at all, or whatever. So there's very little, like, restriction as to what you could theoretically make or stat out, which means certain useful skills that everybody would want, like notice, aren't necessarily locked out or penalized for certain characters, and you can always gain access to knowledge skills if you're a character, which is always nice. So there's that. The game is pretty. It's pretty universal, and it has stats for a lot of things. It can roll with a lot of things. And the company that's made it has put out some rather affordable, I'm talking like $20-$30, hardcover supplements for it for different things, like Weird War 2, which is like, you know, Hitler has a bunch of zombies. It's basically Call of Duty Nazi zombies, but with werewolves and vampires and stuff, and you can play it. It's all right. I mean, I would get it because it's got all the stats for all the rifles you'd want out of it if you're not like me and you don't just stat things yourself in terms of weapons. There are other ones, like there's Solomon Kane for Savage Worlds. Deadlands, which I'm going to talk about here in a minute, was.
Oh, I've heard of Deadlands.
Savage Worlds comes out of Deadlands. That's probably the next thing I talk about right now. But there's a Deadlands supplement because Deadlands is a it's no longer run, like that. That's no longer in print, but you can get the PDFs online at a price, or you can commit a crime, which we do not have. Do not commit a crime to get Deadlands. Anyway, so that's Savage Worlds. Oh, yeah, and your initiative is determined by drawing cards, which is kind of fun. There's no rolling for initiative. You draw cards. That's fun.
Yeah, I've always been a proponent of some sort of, like, card or something that you can hold in your hand, you know, despite the fact that it often gets... that's often how these companies make their money is, we've got, like... got five card packs for you to buy for this game.
Yeah, no.
Get on that treadmill there.
Unless it's Battlefront, in which case the card packs are entirely optional because the cards come with the models and the cards are a good way to retrofit your old army to play it in the new edition, and you can just buy the cards instead of the rule books.
Is that the Star Wars miniature game?
No, that's Flames of War. They make Flames of War. Battlefront is the Star Wars video game, but it's also the company that makes Flames of War.
Okay, that was my confusion.
Again, I'm a soulless shell. I'm a soulless shell for basically Savage Worlds and Flames of War. But okay, Deadlands. Deadlands is the game Flames of War comes from, which is why it has things like drawing cards for initiative. Deadlands is the Wild West plus Magic, and it's one of the very few role playing games which actually like gives statistical bonuses from being from the Confederate States of America because the Civil War never ended in the setting, and it's like 1870.
Interesting.
It has a thing. The other main reason you would want to play Deadlands is because it's a very flavorful game, and you draw cards to determine your stats instead of rolling, so it has all that going for it, and it's very. You cast magic powers either by praying to God or by playing cards against the devil. And you actually have to play poker against the game master to win your magic powers to play cards against the devil. And if you lose, you lose your soul. So it's got some fun mechanics in there. It's other than, like, it's actually probably more flavorful than the 40K RPGs, which is one thing it has going for it. It is one of the best, most flavor-filled role-playing games you can ever play. I love Deadlands. It's great.
That's interesting. Yeah, so you don't just get free magic spells. You actually have to barter with the devil.
If you want to play the huckster class, if you want to play like a priest or like an Indian shaman, you can roll regularly, but you have different kind of spells, less combat focused.
Interesting.
The game is not the most well-balanced thing, but that's not because that's not what it's about. The game itself, because you draw cards for stats, you can very easily draw something that makes you like an unkillable like machine of like praising Jesus. Like I actually like rolled up a pastor one time and like basically like dominated the entire game because of how powerful I was, because I was able to I basically had every single spell that a holy character would have available to them with a very good roll chance to get them because of how I draw it, or how I drew. But it's a very, very flavorful game. So if you want to play more casually with people who are like kind of in the mood and you like really like those old Clint Eastwood movies, like that is a very good game. Like the Dollars Trilogy is very good.
Oh, I love the Dollars Trilogies.
It's like that plus Magic. It's amazing.
I might have to play some Clint Eastwood with my friends. It sounds really good. It sounds really fun. Good.
There's literally a skill in the game for rapid firing the pistol with the palm of your hand, like he does in the movie. Fanning. Like, that's an actual skill in the game. You could spec into doing that specially. So again, flavorful, very setting specific. So you're not going to be running, like, if you want to run like sci-fi with this, you're going to be sorely disappointed. It only does one thing, and what it does amazing. And it's worth playing a couple times. Or all the time. You know, if that's all you want to play, power to you. I'm not going to be mad. That's a great game.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that's a Deadlands. It's a non-D20 system. Very, very fun. Not balanced because of the way it works. I mean, if everything were like, if it were a point by game, it'd probably be balanced because everyone, there'd be more control. But when you have like random stat determination, the game is inherently going to be unbalanced. Unless it's under a level of control that like the Warhammer RPGs are, which we'll get to here.
Yeah, I was about to ask if you wanted to transition to
There's
that.
There's one more game I just want to briefly touch on here called Fate and Fate Accelerated.
Yeah, go ahead.
These are very simple games that you have four dice. The two spaces on each dice is blank. Two spaces are pluses and two spaces are minuses. So you have a one-third chance of rolling a plus, a one-third chance of rolling a minus, and a one-third chance of rolling a blank. And then you could get like a plus four all the way down to a minus four for your roll. And every time you like want to do something impressive, you roll, and then so you get a certain like affinities and skills, which the DM determines if those like apply to your roll, and then you add them to your roll, and then you roll it, and then you know you kind of, it's more of a cooperative storytelling game, less mechanically intensive. You're just trying to roll advantages against your enemies. So it's just kind of like you got to go with the logic of the game. It's very simple, even more simple than Savage Worlds. It's very loose. And more so than any other game we're going to talk about here, it really depends on the players more so than any other game in terms of like, if you have a good group of people to play with, it is an absolute riot. If you have like some really, really, really like horribly boring, nasty people to play with, it is really, really like just a drag. So it ranges a gambit, but it's like cheaper than Savage Worlds to buy the book, but you have to have the specialized dice for it. So, you know, unless you want to have like a charted D6, like, you know, you want to like make a four and a five, or sorry, a five and a six, like a plus, a three and a four, a neutral, and then a two and a one, a minus or something like that. You know, you're going to have some difficulty playing this one. Because you want to buy the dice, and that costs money. So it'll come out more than Savage Worlds at the end. Because I'm just assuming if you're buying Savage Worlds, you probably have a set of dice and you own a set of cards. Who doesn't? If you don't have a set of dice, you know, that's just going to be a tax to getting into the hobby. But yeah, no, that's Fate. Fate's an okay game.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah, I'll have to try that out as well. I haven't really dipped my toes into many different, RPGs like that. But I'll give that a shot.
Yeah. So now there's a great option for you guys if you can get your hands on it. The old Fantasy Flight 40K RPGs.
Oh yes.
Mostly out of print now.
This is also one of my favorite systems.
This Dark Heresy first edition. Second edition wasn't as good in my opinion, and it's actually played less often than first edition. Dark Heresy first edition is one of the, in my opinion, one of the greatest games ever devised.
Yeah, and its successors like
Only War, Kill Team.
Yeah.
Death Watch. Only War, Death Watch, Rogue Traders, like the redheaded stepchild, along with I actually have all the PDFs here. Let me look on a. While I'm doing that, yeah, no, but its successors are amazing. Just a great. Black Crusade is the other one. So
right,
Dark Heresy,
right,
Death
Black
Watch,
Crusade.
Only War, Rogue Trader, and Dark Crusade. So, like, in Dark Heresy, you're basically playing an inquisitorial mook band working for an inquisitor. Everything comes in the core rulebook. It's just... I'm just... Like, I have it open right now. everything comes in this core rule book. It's just great.
Yeah. Yeah, and what a, I mean, there's a lot to like about this, but one of the best things just being neutral as far as 40K goes, you know, because I do play the game, but one of the best things about this is the system. It's a D100 system,
yeah,
which means you get
percent system,
right?
Yeah.
So you get two 10-sided dice, right? Two 10-sided dice,
and one's your ones place,
right? One is for tens, one is for ones, and you just roll them both, and you have the option of getting anywhere from 1 to 100, and a lot of the rolls are made like this so that any kind of and it has an interesting bonus system. I don't know if you wanted to go into that or not. Modifier system.
I'm just going to go through Dark Heresy like really fast. Dark Heresy is one of the very few games you can ever play that has entirely randomized character creation. You can roll for everything. You can like just start off and just go straight in. So you just roll your homeworld, then roll your career, then roll for your name, and then like roll for like how you look, and then roll for your stats. And you can just like just create a character completely randomized and then just go from there, which is fun. That's just rad. And if you want to play the game correctly, do the roll randomly. That's just the most fun.
but you don't have to though, really.
No, you don't.
You can choose all of these things and build your character if you like.
Right. And the other nice thing about it is so the game itself functions on this, and every character, what they have is they have a series of stats on a scale of 1 to 100. And you're trying to actually roll below your stat and its modifier. So if I'm shooting at somebody, my shooting skill isn't actually... It gives me a modifier of like either I don't roll it at a penalty or like a plus 10 and a plus 20 are the modifiers. So if I have a ballistic skill of 30, for example, and I have a shooting skill of 20... or plus 20, then I need to roll below a 50 on my dice.
Right, because 30 plus 20 is 50. So right. when you roll the 2d10, it needs to be below 50.
And all your skills are like this, and they're all based on attributes. So you would use you roll against that attribute with the skill with its modifier. And every they're like several characteristics or attributes. Weapon skill, you know, fighting, ballistic skill, shooting, strength, toughness, agility, intelligence, perception, willpower, and fellowship. Fellowship is your generic charisma score. And then you have your, like, careers, which, you know, you have, like, the adept, which is basically, like, your nerd. He knows... Dark Heresy is an investigation-focused game with a side of, like, gang fights, or street fighting and brawling and stuff. So the adept, he's very good at knowing things for your investigations. You have your arbitrator, which does dual purpose as an investigative class and the party tank.
It's a Judge Dredd in space, right?
Basically, the assassin. This guy can do infiltration, sniping, or you know, run around with knives and kill people, depending on how you want to do it. The cleric, because this is Warhammer 40K, he does literally everything. He can just do whatever he wants. He's probably the most well-rounded class, and he also starts off with like the most money out of anybody. The guardsman, he's like a he's like the medium tank that can do just about anything in combat. So he's like the assassin's glass cannon, the guardsman's well rounded, the arbitrator's a tank. And you have your Imperial Psyker. And powers are balanced really well in this game in that there's a penalty for using them at lower levels. You can mitigate this at higher levels, but it's very difficult to get high levels in Dark Heresy because of how difficult the game is.
Yeah, and this is one of the reasons why I like the system. Moreover, is because it makes sure that that magic classes are powerful, but also very risky to use.
Right. Something like Savage Worlds, for example, things are less risky, but they're less powerful. You have a limited supply of power points, like you would in like Pokemon or like Final Fantasy to draw on. You have scum. You have scum in Dark Heresy. That's your like local grifter gang guy and like general. He's also the one who's good at lying to people and getting what you want. And then the tech priest, And everybody like has a chart.
Who's the cooler nerd, right?
He's a metal nerd. You have the regular nerd, and then you have the robot nerd.
Got the big titty goth nerd, right?
Yeah. Okay. Warhammer 40K is like if you wanted to do like the big titty goth GF bit, this would be the setting for it. That's about it. And just looking at like the one of the nice things about this game is things are very versatile, but they're also kind of limited a little bit. Everybody has access to similar pools of skills. Some people have specialized things they can get access to, but they cost different amounts of points based on your career. So like advancing your ability to shoot things as a guardsman is actually easier than advancing your ability to shoot things as, say, like, you know, a tech priest or an adept. It depends, and your experience points are directly spent on your skills.
Right. So you get experience points, and you buy increase in skills. Some classes have more expensive costs, but overall, if you really wanted to build your character a certain way, you can do it.
And the other ones kind of have built off this system. For example, Only War does this thing where your career gives you affinities, and you can calculate out how much something will cost based on your talents, your baseline attributes as a character. So you might be a character that's charismatic, so you have easier time buying things like persuasion. Just for an example.
Yeah.
Only War, if you want to play like an ogre that backflips and hits people with a giant rock on a stick, you can. Like, Only War is very, very freeform in what you can do. Same with Death Watch.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing with all these systems is that they're relatively you can swap and exchange characters between them relatively okay, and it'll still work, right?
Yeah. Do you have someone that wants to play as the big titty goth GF sister of battle in the Death Watch campaign? That's entirely doable. Like, again, that's the other reason. Like, Dark Heresy Core doesn't have the Sister of Battle, but the only thing you need to add on to it is the Sister of Battle, which is the most important add-on for this entire game, inarguably.
Nuns with guns.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
There's one more thing that we need to talk about for Dark Heresy.
Go ahead.
So everything is a very low amount of hit points, and everything is determined on D10 hits, and then your armor is subtracted out along with your toughness from the damage you take. But there are the critical hit tables in Dark Heresy, based on how much critical damage you take, which is basically below, like, I think, below zero damage. If you take more than that, you go on the critical hit table, and you read off what happens. And this is the other reason you would play this game. All right? I've got it up on here. You remember these, Jack, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a different critical hit table for every game, but yeah. No,
these,
I remember
these
those.
These are, like, specific to the weapons type, but, like, these are right. These are particularly good. Like, I'm just going to go through rending. So this is your cutting, chain swords, and the like. Rending, right, critical effects, head. Let's just see what happens if you go to -5 damage. The attack opens up the target's face, leaving him stunned for 1d5 rounds and inflicting 1d5 levels of fatigue. If the target was wearing a helmet, the helmet comes off. I think 8. The blow slices into the side of the target's head, causing his eyes to pop out and his brain to ooze down his cheek like spilled jelly. He's dead before he hits the ground.
Oof.
9. With a sound not unlike a wet sponge being torn in half, the target's head flies free from its body and sails through the air, mostly landing harmlessly 2d10 meters away with a soggy thud. The target is instantaneously slain.
Mongoose, is he okay? Will he be okay?
There's no way to resurrect characters in this game either. So, but of course, why would you want to with critical hit tables like that?
Right.
You know, this game is basically like it is 40K to the max. If you want to play Warhammer.
To the max.
Yeah, if you want to play Warhammer, but you don't want to buy an army, you know, you play like this, or you can play Only War. Only War is probably my favorite because I'm a guard guy, but, you know.
Yeah.
I actually have quite a few actual RPG systems saved on my computer. One of them, I actually do have a D20 Naruto system.
Oh my RPG. God.
Yes. Because it exists.
No.
I have it. Yes.
No.
Yes. Yes.
Really?
Yes. Look at this.
Oh my God. Weeaboos.
Okay. Okay. Now,
Christ.
Now, this kind of like, now no one would ever want to play the Naruto, bit, but there is one system that stands above all others in my opinion.
Go on.
And that system is Mido, or MADE, the role-playing game. MADE is simultaneously one of the best things ever put to pen and paper, and one of the worst things ever designed. And I'm not going to go particularly hardcore into the mechanics. I've actually run MADE before. That was a disaster. I lost a bet. I don't bet on this anymore.
Oh my God.
MADE is actually similar to Dark Heresy in many ways. In that there's nearly 1-to-1 a lot of the stats have 1-to-1 translators into Dark Heresy. So some people have actually come up with a way to transfer your Dark Heresy character into a MADE character, or roll your MADE characters and then transfer them into Dark Heresy.
Oh my God! This stinks of what is that? What is it's never mind. Keep going.
Okay. So MADE is like Dark Heresy in that you also roll entirely randomly for your character, including your attributes, your MADE types. So you the lolly, sexy, pure, cool,
oh my
boyish,
God.
Heroine.
Kill me right now.
Oh no, wait, you roll two types. And you can't roll the same thing twice. So like and lolly is just a character that looks young.
Okay.
They specify this because there's some other crazy stuff in here that you know you don't want with that kind of thing going on. Then you roll your special qualities. Generally, you get 3 to 5 of these, and these can range from anything from you have glasses, freckles, you have elf ears, you're a cat girl, a vampire, a princess, or you have to roll on the secret job table or the relationship or perversion table, depending on how you want to play the game, the dark past table, the uniform modification table, and some of these tables are just off the wall insane. Okay,
where's my gunshot drop? Do you have a gunshot drop?
No, I don't, because this is just amazing. Like here, let's just look at the injury table. Patchwork. Your body is covered with stitching scars. You only one eye. You only have one eye. Burns, whip scars, bandages, and blind. There's tragic love, dark past, trauma.
No dark past. I don't want a dark past. Please, dear God.
Dark past. Former delinquent, former killer, amnesiac, bad reputation, wanted, and runaway. So those are actually like, that. You know. Secret job, assassin, hacker, scientist, doctor/pharmacist, dojin artist, and pro creator. Dojin artist, yes.
Just in the list, you were going down the list. It's like, okay. Oh, God!
membership, evil secret society, secret agency, cult, political organization, shadow clan. That this is not to be associated with the FBI clan, or a government official. So you could be a member of like evil secret society. Like you could be a member of like I don't know, the B'nai B'rith secret agency. You could be like a member of the CIA. R.I.P. Terry A. Davis. A cult. You could be a member of the alt-right. A political organization.
Oh,
you could be a member of the alt-right.
This is an alt-right podcast.
Well, maybe. Who knows? I know that that's like a meme people throw around, so I'm throwing it around now. Shadow Clan. You could be a member of the Black Panthers. Or the government official. You could be a KKK, KKK member. After all, if you're a secret agency, you could also be a KKK member since you're an FBI agent. Yeah. Shapeshifter. you are actually a fox and can hide or display your ears and tail at will. So you're like an anime fox girl. So these are basically just like monster girl stuff. And there's also the monster girl table, which you can roll succubus on, because this game is just, it's high quality.
This is treading very quickly into magical world.
Can you see the screen sharing? I've got a table up there. Just look at it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. No.
just look at it. Don't read it. Just take a look. This is an alternate table for the relationship table. And there's like the maid roots. So like, how did you become a maid? Like debts, you're a slave. You're the person's mistress. You're taking revenge. You're an orphan, an illegitimate child. You were born into it. Self-punishment. You have an unrequited love. You're an infiltrator. Loyalty, childhood friend. You just like being a maid. You're training yourself to become a bride. Who the hell knows?
So this is the thing. Okay, so what you do is you send out a message to all your friends. Hey, let's play some Dark Heresy this weekend, right?
Right.
And then what you do is you take the Dark Heresy book, you push it to the side, and you bring out this book and say, "Aha!
Now I have we're building characters, and then we're going to translate them in." Because this actually can get to...
Because you hate your friends, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. You can also roll for your weapon, and some of these are pretty good. Like religious symbol, chainsaw, morning star, a chain or a rope, exotic weapon, like a boomerang or something, a bazooka, a rifle, a vase.
Can you be a spear chucker?
Yes, you can. And the game the rule book has written out sections giving examples of how to roleplay certain things within these characters. The dude who had to translate this is a poor bastard. there's like a random events table and basic scenarios. Then there is the you can also be a butler. You can have one person be the butler, which is actually significantly less insane. And then there's the master creation table, optional character types. Oh yes, here we go. The trauma table and the complexes tables. These are where the game actually goes from, like, this is kind of weird and funny to, like, actually horrifying. So the trauma table is actually, like, some of it's, like, this is all optional. But the trauma table is, like, one of those things where it's just, like, here. Like, some of these are actually, like, normal. Like, or, like, less normal, but, like, you know, knows no love. Okay, that's traumatic. You know, major failure, like you could have dropped out of college or something. Here's a few other ones. Destroyed your homeland. Okay. I didn't know you could play as John McCain in this game, but
I know. Oof, wow. Oof. That's pretty flexible.
Former prostitute, miscarriage, history of suicide attempts, mistreated by parents, betrayed by a close friend, killed your lover. I think killing your parents is on here as well. Along with killing many people, in love with brother / cousin, they're like going full ham. Then there are the physical complexes, like things that make you feel weird, like being muscular. We're just not going to go into there.
Which is a complex in this game, you know? If you're muscular, that's complex.
Yeah, well,
very weird.
You're playing as an anime maid girl.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, no,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
Weird.
It's less weird. If you're, like, buff like Arnold Schwarzenegger, it's less weird. Mental complexes. You don't like it when you're hit on. You have a really... You don't like your name. You eat slow. I know a lot... But, again, one thing that's... Grimade RPG is one of those games you run once for fun.
Yeah, It sounds a lot like it. But that's the word I've used.
But there's one other thing you can use this game for that is actually really useful.
Please, red made me on this.
Red made you. I'm gonna red made you. Let's say you're at an impasse and you need to make some NPCs relatively quickly. I'm not even joking. I do it. I've done it before. Like I recently did.
That sounds really funny. Actually,
it is a ton of fun. Like this, just using this to roll for whatever you want to make.
just randomly roll for all your NPCs.
Not roll great. Randomly, but like, do you have a? Oh yeah, and some of the illustrations are just pure Kino in this book. The other thing, this book was entirely this game was entirely playtested by the Traditional Games Board of 4chan. It's actually the first Japanese written role playing game to be translated into English. So it does have historical significance to our hobby here.
Well, that makes a lot of sense actually. now that you've told me that.
This is one of those games where it's like if you collect things within the hobby, you probably want to get a copy, and it's actually pretty cheap to buy like a physical copy because it's like a little small like book. It's only like 80 pages, and it's like 200 pages, but it's very very small. Made RPG is like, I want to go back up, and there's an intro here that's also really good. The intro to this. I don't know, like, there are some people I'm going to send this to, and if they get to this and they like, hear me talking about this, I'm going to be kind of sad like that they get to hear this. But they explains what's an RPG, or, like, why would you want to play Made RPG?
You have to have an entire section as to why you would ever want to play this game. Well,
okay. You can also play this game entirely. It only requires 2d6 to play, which is nice.
That's not bad.
All right, things you probably won't need: shame and a maid costume. it says not that you can't, but it's not necessary to play, and it might be a little creepy, imagination and all that. If you look cute in one, feel free to send us a picture. Written
please,
in the rule book.
Please do not send us a picture.
Do not
please
send us
not.
Pictures.
I open my email.
No. Don't send us pictures. I mean, unless you're a cute girl, in which case, maybe.
Yeah, no.
No, this is... jeez, this is just an amazing... and it also lists anime you should watch if you want to play the game, which is... I've recommended anime for people to watch before, like, because it fits the mood of what I'm doing, but never have I ever done that. But yeah, no, this is an amazing... I may be, like, do some screen cutting, snipping, and posting this to Twitter later, because this is just such an amazing train wreck.
train wreck is probably a good description of this game.
It's like one of those things... Of course, I'm the guy who's like, I unironically, one time by like, okay, I went to 4chan and someone recommended to me, like, I was interested in something I saw in a photo, and someone like gave me a source, and it was like some DeviantArt thing, and I didn't know what I was getting into. And then I read, I ended up reading an entire fetish comic to do world building one time with a buddy. So like, I'm like at the point where like I'm like very little will like actually faze me in terms of like crazy shit I've seen on the internet that I dredge up, and I managed to find like an intensely large number of just insane things.
Yeah, that is one of the issues with being with coming from the chans, is that you tend to be scarred by the things that you've seen.
Well, I didn't even spend much time there. But still, you know. But the other thing is, nice thing is, if you just lift stuff from like really weird, like disgusting internet things, like if you just lift the salvageable parts out, 100% your players are going to be surprised every time because they're not looking at it. I'm better at digging stuff up online than anyone I know, which, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, Made is a game. Play Dark Heresy. Play Savage Worlds. use this for NPCs if you have it. I would not recommend playing this in mixed company, and I wouldn't recommend playing it unless you're drunk.
Yeah, for me, I think this game gets a Sodom and Gomorrah out of 10.
I give this game, just holistically looking at all the mechanics and how well it's been designed, I give Made RPG a solid 6 out of 10. It's above average.
Well, I'm going to have to
3 out of 10. Nope. Yeah, whatever.
Okay, I'll have to look through the game just to explore it mechanically, although I don't know. I don't know if I would play this with anyone in real life. Like,
what? I have before. So that was I lost a bet in high school. I lost a bet in high school, and maybe one day I'll go through like some of the crazier stuff like that has happened in some of my games, just because of the way I interact with players. Maybe not, but yeah, no. Anyway, we're getting a little low on time here.
Story time is definitely needed.
We'll try to have a story time episode. We'll see if anybody listening to this can go bother someone they think would make good for good story time and get them to come on here. We'll have story time. We can all pick our favorite story of something that happened in a game.
Mm-hmm.
Story time is always good. But yeah, no. So we're just running a little low on time here, and so just leaving on that high low note or low high note or whatever you want to call it. I think we're just going to end up calling this this a day. In association with myself, because no one else, and in association with RightWingEntertainmentSquads.com, who have gladly allowed us to post our creation on their very nice WordPress blog. I have been Mongoose Kikimura, your co-host, and with me is Jack, and we're signing off. We'll see you next week or whenever we get back to this. Редактор субтитров А.Семкин Корректор А.Егорова